A Ugandan-born immigrant to the United States named Matias Ferreira was a 23-year-old, 6'1", 250-pound Lance Corporal Marine. He was serving in Afghanistan when on January 21st, 2011, he jumped off the roof of a suspected Taliban outpost and he landed on a bomb. "I heard a noise," he said later. "Everything went black." Lance Corporal Ferreira was evacuated to a local hospital to save his life and then to the U.S. for further treatment and rehab. 3 months later, I can't help but notice on Easter Day, 3 days after the cross, 3 months later, he was up and walking in prosthetic legs. He said, "I was just starting a new life at that point." Matias started work as a welder. He started some new hobbies: softball on a Wounded Warriors team, skydiving, scuba diving, snowboarding — you get a feel for his personality, don't you? — motorcycle riding. Then he decided one day that welding wasn't so great for him. He wanted to become a police officer, so he took the test. He made a perfect score, and he enrolled in the Suffolk County, New York Police Academy. And there he had 29 weeks of training to become a police officer. His fellow recruits elected him class president. Now, to graduate from the police academy, there was a certain amount of material he had to learn and a certain amount of material he had to do, like the physical training requirements, and he did them, just like all the other recruits. He had to run a mile and a half in 11 minutes. Have you tried that lately? Last month, this immigrant, this wounded warrior, started walking a beat on titanium legs in New York. The media heard about him, and they wanted to know why a police beat. Officer Ferreira answered, "I really just want to help people. I want to be involved in the community, and I want to live out my new motto," he said. "Life without limbs is limitless." I read his story and I thought of Easter right away. I know for many of us, Easter has taken on traditions of bunnies and chocolate and lilies and bonnets and egg hunts and hams, and I'm right with you, by the way, on all of those things. But let's be clear what's at the core and the center of this holy day: a celebration that God's power gives us new life. God raised the crucified Jesus from the dead and risen from the grave and present on earth. Jesus showed himself in many ways to those who became convinced he wasn't dead, but with them. They were experiencing him on many occasions after his death. Cam Murchison, a friend of mine who was a dean at Columbia Seminary in Decatur, said, "When God raised Jesus from the dead, all heaven broke loose on the earth. An angel, a rolled away stone, an earthquake. A startling message: don't be afraid. He is not here. Go and tell the others. You will see him." You see, Caesar's powerful military put Jesus to death. And the powerful religious authority of his day, the ones in control of the Jerusalem temple, they wanted him silenced. He was their opponent, their opposition and critic. And when those things happened, even his close friends and followers ran away from him for fear of their own lives. And what we discover on Easter is that the power of sin and the violence and hatred of this world and the fear of we who are called to follow, these are not enough to contain the love and the power and the new life of God. Today is Easter Sunday, 2017, and in the words of the great spiritual, it is a happy day. It's a happy day because it's a remembrance of and a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord and the salvation won for us. But I'll tell you something about Easter that I've always found confusing. The day of the Easter celebration is hard to determine. A little history. The year was 325. The church realized it needed to settle the date for Easter. And so they had a council. And the council, this sounds like committee work, doesn't it? The council decided by a majority vote, Easter will be held on the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring on or after the vernal equinox. Get that? Now to me, that's confusing. And what's more confusing is Western Christians said we will follow and calculate according to the Gregorian calendar. Eastern and Orthodox Christians, and God bless our friends and brothers and sisters in Egypt, in the Coptic Eastern Church tradition. But they said, we will go by the Julian calendar. And the British in the 20th century said, this is not right. This must be settled. And so they tried many attempts to say, let's establish one Easter day. East and West will agree, and it will have nothing to do with the orbits of the sun and the moon and the earth and the sky. They failed. And so what we have is calendar chaos. What this means to you and me, let's be honest, is that you have to be a Georgia Tech grad to figure this stuff out. Maybe a Kennesaw Marietta campus person. Maybe someone doing STEM in school. The rest of us just look on a calendar to figure out when Easter is. I tell you this because Christmas is different, right? Christmas is fixed. Christmas is, as long as I've been alive, December 25th every year. Santa can bank on it. And the elves hit their production quotas because of it. Easter? All over the place. One year it's in March, one year it's in April. In some Eastern traditions, in some years, it's as late as May. As a child, I remember Easter egg hunts in a foot of fluffy snow. My parents hated it. We thought it was great. Builds character, makes memories. Not only that, but in those days, we actually got hard-boiled eggs in egg hunts, not melted chocolate. And the snow kept those hard-boiled eggs fresh. Whether Easter falls on a wintry March day or a sunny chocolate-melting April day or maybe even a May day in the Eastern Christian world, Easter is, whether it's inside or outside, sunrise or midday, Easter is always a glorious celebration of new life, of God's power over death and sin. Now, another interesting thing about Easter that I learned some years ago in Richmond in seminary in a worship class, I've never forgotten. I forgot a lot of things they taught me in seminary, but not this. The church celebrates Easter not just once a year, but every Sunday. Every single Sunday is the first day of the week. The church calls that the Lord's Day, the day the women came to the empty tomb. And so for the church, every Sunday is at least a little Easter. Sure, today is for us a big Easter, and I'm glad it's a big Easter. We've got brass, we've got drums, we've got full choirs and a glorious chancel. Not only that, but we worked like mad to make this property look beautiful. There were women in here wiping pledge on the top of the wooden parts of the pews. We've done everything we can to make the big Easter glorious, but the truth is, every Sunday is a celebration of resurrection and new life. Think of it this way. There are 52 resurrection Sundays in the year. 51 mini Easters. And one big one. I say that to you because if your life is like mine, you need the good news to hunt you down and lift your spirits, not just once a year in a big way, But every Sunday, indeed, every time the sun rises, let us be reminded of the gift of new life. Barbara Brown Taylor lives and writes near Piedmont College in Georgia, and she's popular in the speaking circuit and in her writing. One of her books, more recently published, was called An Altar in the World, and she writes this. Popular religion in the United States focuses so hard on success that most of us don't know the first thing about the spiritual fruits of failure. We fall ill. We lose our jobs. We wreck our marriages. We alienate our children. And most of us are left alone to pick up the pieces. If we're fortunate enough to have friends to support us, we still have a hard time shaking off the shame of getting lost in the first place, she says. And yet, when we reflect back on our lives and we're asked to pinpoint those moments, those times and places that changed us from what was to what is, from what was bad to what is better, it's those very wilderness times. She goes on that when the safety net is split and when our resources are gone and when our way forward is not at all clear, we lie flat on the ground with the breath knocked out of us. And we find that that is our resting place. This is as low as you can go. You told yourself that you would die if it ever came to this. And yet, here you are. You can't help yourself. You live. Now, for some people, Barbara Brown Taylor is too whimsical, poetic. And so, I have the same message in more common language. The baseball coach, Casey Stengel. You don't learn anything by winning, Casey told his team. You learn everything by losing. This is a little off topic, but I have a feeling the Atlanta Braves are going to learn a lot this season. Learn a lot. I'm convinced that what we need in addition to big Easter Sunday are lots of little Easter moments. Resurrection days in the midst of our year to help us find strength to get through the mire and hope to overcome the fear and inspiration to discover newness amid dead ends and fatigue and hurts and mistakes. One commentator who's also a pastor in New England says this about Easter. Easter is not the assurance that nothing can go wrong because things do go wrong. Easter is not the assurance that everything will always turn out for the best. It seldom does. Rather, he says, when Jesus raised from the tomb says, "Fear not," he's giving to us an assurance that whatever may happen, God has power and strength to uphold us. And that whatever we face, we don't face it alone. And that nothing we encounter on earth is more powerful than the love of God to save us. 11 years ago, Michael Stepien was about my age, a 53-year-old father living in Pittsburgh. He was walking home one night from his job as a head chef. He cut through an alley where he was robbed at gunpoint by a 16-year-old kid who shot him at close range. That young gunman is now serving 40 years in prison for second-degree murder, and Michael Stepien was lying on a hospital bed dying with his family around him. And they came to a decision to donate his organs through an organ recovery program. Now, upon his death, his heart went to Arthur Thomas, a 72-year-old father of four who himself was dying of congestive heart failure in New Jersey. One life was ending and another getting new opportunity, new life. Now, after Arthur Thomas of New Jersey got his new heart and made it through his recovery period, he wrote a thank you note to the grieving Stepien family in Pittsburgh. It's a beautiful story. And in many ways, that could be the end of the story. But there's more. Fast forward one decade. Jenny Stepien. She was 23 when her father was murdered. Jenny Stepien's now 33. She's an elementary school teacher, and she gets engaged to be married. Her first thought, she confesses, is, who is going to walk me down the aisle? Her fiancé very quickly suggested Arthur Thomas, the man in New Jersey who was alive because of Jenny's father's heart. She agreed. She tracked down his numbers and she made the call. He agreed to come. When the time came, he flew to Pittsburgh. It was the day before the wedding. And it was the first time the two had ever met face to face. He would escort her down the aisle in the sanctuary where her own parents had been married one generation before. She took his arm in the back of the sanctuary and got ready to be escorted into the service. And he suggested that rather than grab her here at the arm, he suggested that she grip him on his wrist. That way, he said, where the pulse is strongest, she would be able to feel her own father's heart beating. Now at the reception, she asked Mr. Thomas to join her for the traditional father-daughter dance. And her wedding photographer captured the moment beautifully, the two spinning to the music with the bride's hand on the chest of her escort. When the whole thing was over, a reporter from the Pittsburgh Press asked Arthur Thomas about the experience, what this had been like for him. He said, I felt wonderful for bringing her father's heart to Pittsburgh. And then he paused. And he said, the truth is, I would have walked here from New Jersey if I had to be here. Friends in Christ, he is risen, he is present. That is what he told us. He appeared long ago to his friends after death, and he appears even now in ways mysterious and miraculous. And so keep an open mind and keep eyes of faith to seek him and trust his promise. The one who said, you will see me. Every year the date of Easter confuses me. It's hard to predict. One year it's early, another year it's late. Some use this calendar, some use that calendar. Plus, you have to know what the moon and the earth are doing in their orbits. But I hope we never settle it. I believe the Easter celebration, this happy day, works best as it always has been, a movable feast, never fixed. When Christ rose from the dead, all heaven broke loose on earth. And that means God's power to bring new life will keep springing up miracles in our midst in the most unpredictable of ways, even here, even now, wherever two or three gather in his name. A joyful big Easter to you all, and many happy little returns of the day. Amen.